right, Monday Night Raw just finished. Good evening, everyone. It is June 12th, 2023. Welcome to this Raw post show. I am Don Tony. As always, I want to thank you very much for joining me. Not a bad show tonight. Last week, arguably my favorite Raw of 2023. This week, I thought it was very good. It really did not have much of a lull. Rhea Ripley still with no feud in sight is a little bit concerning. Roman Reigns has not defended the undisputed WWE Universal Championship since WrestleMania. Rhea Ripley defended it against Natty and not much else. But outside of that, really can't complain about tonight's Raw. Quick plug. For those that are interested, tomorrow night, Kevin Castle and yours truly will be recording the next DTKC show episode. We will be doing it live on our Patreon Discord channel. So if you are a Patreon, patreon.com/DonTony, you can join us live and help us, you know, with the show. Otherwise, if not, no worries. The show will be on DonTony.com for everyone around midnight, Tuesday night. And I tell you, you know, NXT tomorrow, just to throw it out there right away, well, that's a little too small. You know, they announced Roxanne Perez taking on Tatum Paxley. But then they announced, I don't know how I feel about this, Thea Hale taking on Cora Jade. With Thea Hale getting a championship opportunity soon, I don't know how people are going to feel if Cora Jade has to do the J-O-B to the R-O-O-K-I-E. Idris Enofi and Malik Blade will be going at it, believe it or not. That's going to be interesting. Nathan Frazier defending the Heritage Cup. I tell you, this six-man tag, you know, you kind of feel that the schism, if Ava Rain wasn't in that match last week, I think the schism would have continued their losing streak. The Rock's daughter got that win last week. So we have Mustafa Ali, Wes Lee, and Tyler Bate against the Dyad, the schism. And then we have Baron Corbin taking on Jaden McDonagh. I don't know how I feel about this one either because I don't want to see Jaden McDonagh doing the J-O-B anytime soon. But the reason why I'm bringing up NXT right off the bat is because Seth Rollins is expected to appear, I would say, on a simulcast or recorded segment. I'd be shocked to shit if he is live in the building tomorrow, but he is going to accept Bron Breakker's challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship. And if you check out Saturday's edition of the Don Tony Show, even Wednesday, we talked about it. Seth Rollins going to NXT, taking on Bron for the World Heavyweight Championship is 1,000 times better than bringing Bron Breakker to Monday Night Raw. And the reason why I say that, and I'll say it here very, very quickly, is you remember when Bron Breakker showed up last time. Yes, this is a much different Bron Breakker. But you look at Zoe Stark. You look at Jaden McDonagh, who's on the main roster. Even Grayson Waller, to an extent. They're getting no reaction. Because the NXT universe, who is live every week, and the WWE universe are two totally different animals. You put Bron Breakker on Raw, I'm sure he will generate some reaction. But probably a lot less than what WWE wants. You put him in front of an NXT live crowd where he's calling them all scumbags every week, that crowd will be hot. So Seth Rollins versus Bron, do not pay attention to the noise out there, everyone. NXT is not changing. Nick Khan saying what he's saying outside in the media world. Nick Khan is a salesman. Nick Khan is supposed to make everything about WWE look 1,000 times better than what it actually is. That's why Nick Khan is, remember, he was an agent. You know, a lot of people, I think, take his words a little bit too seriously. And please, ignore the noise about demotions by seeing WWE stars going to NXT. This is to give some people extra work. That's plain and simple. There's no drama. There's no need to do special shows about it. Even today, I'll give you a little rumor killer. And I want to throw it out there right now. And then we'll talk about Raw. you probably saw every news site tonight trying to make a big deal about the negotiations for the TV rights between WWE, NBC Universal, and Fox. And as of now, the exclusivity, Fox and NBC Universal have a certain time period where they're allowed to negotiate exclusively with WWE. Once that time frame goes by, and I think it might have been June 1st, once that time frame goes by, now WWE could talk to anybody. Simple. So now it's being reported. And everybody, you know how it is in the wrestling news world, podcasters too, they're trying to make this into a controversial, oh my God, we may not see it on Fox anymore. On what they left out from the New York Post article was a paragraph right after the original report. And that paragraph says that WWE now negotiating with everybody is, quote, is not surprising because most major TV deals that go out in the open market, even if the incumbents remain the favorites, we would maintain at this point that Fox with Friday Night SmackDown and USA Network with Monday Night Raw remain most likely to re-up. That is usually the common thought. Makes you see it in a whole different light. These places are trying to tell you Amazon may take it, Disney may take it, ESPN, FX, there goes the stupid Warner Brothers Discovery bullshit again. You know, because of their relationship with AEW. They're not going to have AEW and WWE on the same network. Cut it out. There's no way Endeavor with the new TKO Corporation is going to do that. Unless NBC Universal, well, excuse me, Warner Brothers Discovery wants to pay billions upon billions. Ain't happening. People just aren't smart enough to look at it and say, okay, this is impossible. This is not happening. So I wanted to tell you all that because this is going to be a major topic of discussion for a lot of places. And understand, they're dramatizing it to get your views, to get your hits, your likes, your subscription, whatever it is. It is a nothing burger. This is normal business. And even that article that everybody is referencing said Fox and NBC Universal are most likely to re-up. They'll leave that part out, by the way. All right. So, Monday Night Raw tonight. You know, I originally had it in the title for tonight's show. I took it off because I think it was pretty much expected, and I know almost everyone out there expected it as well. Rhea Ripley got a new championship tonight, and no complaints. I think the only complaints floating around is defend the fucking title. You know, we had a nice video package about Rhea Ripley that we're just like, you know, part of her world. Yeah, it's not her fault. Let me make that clear. Roman Reigns not defending the championship. Rhea Ripley not defending the championship. Brock Lesnar 7 years ago not defending the championship was not the fault of the wrestlers. This is WWE creative doing this. This is WWE management doing this. You know, and we had over the weekend a great discussion. We had a great discussion. Is WWE starting to jump the shark with these excessively slow storylines? It's not just the bloodline. They totally fucked up Bray Wyatt. You know, you think about the Drew McIntyre stuff. I mean, we brought up so many examples, and even the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Imperium stuff. Tell me you didn't think that Riddle was going to show up at the end of the night. How many times have we seen this since WrestleMania? That Imperium attacks Riddle, Riddle shows up later. This is like a third time this has happened. We know Gunther and Riddle are going to go for the championship. Interesting enough, it was funny because we joked about it the last 2 weeks when Matt Riddle, a couple of weeks ago, you know, said that, you know, he was in Money in the Bank. And Gunther says, good luck. I hope you win it. I want you to face me. not Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins. I want you to face me. And we were joking the last 2 weeks, like, Riddle said that he was in. Not even a qualifying match, if you remember. In fact, people had thumbnails with Riddle on it. I gave an update 2 weeks ago with Riddle in the match. And then we joked. We said, I wonder if WWE decides, you know what? Take him out of the fucking ladder match. Yeah, he'll still get the match with Riddle. I mean, they think Riddle, with Gunther. They think Riddle and Gunther are going to tear it up. And yeah, a little slip of the tongue, you're not going to crucify the guy. But I wonder if Matt Riddle was originally supposed to be in Money in the Bank. But I will say this, man. I will say this. I know the popular pick for Money in the Bank to the winner is LA Knight. For a lot of people, it's LA Knight. I got to be honest with you. For yours truly, it has quickly become Damian Priest. You know, a lot of people have been thinking that Finn Balor is going to be the one kicked out of Judgment Day. And JD McDonagh will take his place. And Finn Balor will be turning babyface. I'm not feeling it, man. I think Damian Priest, think they are positioning Damian Priest to break away, or whether it's willingly or unwillingly, break away from Judgment Day and become a babyface again and a big, big-time player. You know, he's held gold in the past. He main evented teaming up with Bad Bunny, just had a kick-ass match at Backlash against Bad Bunny. Damian Priest, I think that they are positioning him to take it to the next level. In fact, for anybody that is interested, my neck of the woods, Madison Square Garden, July 7th. Yes, I know what you're going to say, but it's a SmackDown. Wait, it's a SmackDown. Seth Rollins will be defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Damian Priest. It is not going to be televised on SmackDown. This is a bonus match, a dark match for the fans who are attending live. You know, so yes, I know they're Raw, it's SmackDown, but you're giving the fans a little bit extra. And by the way, Seth Rollins even thought this was funny. WWE finally gave him the graphic for his upcoming appearances. So for anybody who's going to say, well, I don't see the SmackDown appearance on it, that's because this schedule only goes up to June 30th. But he will show up on the July 7th. So Seth Rollins finally got the graphic, everyone. Cody got the graphic. Roman got the graphic. We had to read text. So he finally got the graphic. Something else I want to tell you before we get into Raw. I'll give you two more things. One has to do with the title for the YouTube and the title that says June 17th it has been named Kick Rey Mysterio's Ass Day. All right, there. I'll give you the reason behind that. No, it's not official. WWE didn't put that out there. I chose it. I have named June 17th Kick Rey Mysterio's Ass Day. I'll tell you why in a minute. Germany will be getting WWE. Interesting to see Kofi Kingston on the graphic. Yes, I know, before you say anything, Rhea Ripley has no belt. Seth Rollins has no belt. But, you know, still, to see Kofi, maybe he'll be back from injury by then. Hey, October is still, you know, four months away. October 25th in Munich, October 26th at the Lanx Arena. I don't speak German, everyone. I speak Japan, but not German. They will be in Hamburg on Friday, October 27th. And then on October 28th at the Mercedes-Benz Arena. So WWE will be touring Germany, in case you want to check that out. Now, why did I say that June 17th is Kick Rey Mysterio's Ass Day? Well, we found out that Roman Reigns will be defending the undisputed WWE Universal Championship, and he will be defending it on June 17th. Now, I know what you're going to say right off the bat. Oh, okay, I get it, DT. He's taking on Rey Mysterio on June 17th in Cincinnati, Ohio, defending the WWE Undisputed World Heavyweight Championship. No, there's a little bit more than that. It's a little bit more than that. For the last 3 years, including this year, on June 17th, Roman Reigns has kicked the shit out of Rey Mysterio. Roman Reigns in 2021, June 17th, 2021, beat Rey Mysterio in Hell in a Cell. June 17th, 2022, he beat Rey Mysterio. Yeah, I think he beat Rey Mysterio. And 2023, he is going to beat him again. I'm not sure about the 2022, but, you know, still, June 17th. Roman Reigns will kick Rey Mysterio's ass. I'll probably remove that from the title and go back to the Rhea Ripley thing, because I'm digging the championship. If anybody wants to see a picture of it, check this out. That is Rhea Ripley's new Women's World Championship. Yes, my friends, they gave it the same name that we all expected it to be, to reflect Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is the World Heavyweight Champion. Roman Reigns is the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. They are continuing the lineage of both championships that Roman Reigns held. Even though Roman is going to be walking around with one title, Roman will continue both reigns, pun intended. He just passed CM Punk. I think today is day 435. So Asuka has the undisputed women's championship. Remember what we said 2 weeks ago? Undisputed will be the word used for SmackDown. That is the new moniker for their championships. And undisputed has nothing to do with Seth Rollins' championship. Again, anybody out there, go look up a dictionary. Look up the word. Undisputed has nothing to do with Seth Rollins' title. But I like the look of the belt. Now, you know, I wanted to show you this too, you know, because I saw people, you know, like commenting about Asuka's new championship. Now you see the big difference between Raw and SmackDown. This is Asuka holding the original Raw Women's Championship. And now she's holding also the Undisputed Women's Championship. They're the same exact belt. I think the only difference is really is one has the red in the center and the other one doesn't. I mean, even I saw people like, oh, you know, the white looks nice. I'm like, was your dad or mom a Cocker Spaniel? Like, you didn't know that the Raw Women's Championship had a white leather belt also? So, yeah, the belts are pretty much the same. But, as we said on Saturday, to keep note of it, spread it around, talk about it. WWE still has not fixed the problem with Asuka's belt and Rhea Ripley's belt. And I know what some of you are going to say. How did they not fix the problem? We have new championships. Asuka has the Undisputed Women's Championship, and Rhea Ripley has the World Women's Championship. Look at the lineages. Unless they create two brand new lineages, Asuka is still has the lineage of the Raw Women's Championship. What I think WWE is going to do, and I thought about this pretty long and hard, and I'm not saying it to brag, but you know, 99.9% of the time, going back to 1997, we're right. Because we don't rush. We look into it, we research, we use a little common sense. We don't race to be the first to write it online. What I think WWE is going to do is just rename the lineages. When you go online, you're not going to find Raw Women's Championship anymore. I think they are going to just rename it, and they're going to put the latest logo, and the red belt is going to quietly disappear. If you go on WWE's website, they show the hardcore title, they show the old championships, but I have a feeling the only way, there's only two ways that WWE could resolve this. You create a brand new lineage, which, you know, is okay. I mean, we all think that this could happen down the line, you know, Endeavor taking over for the most part, even though, you know, WWE has, you know, still 49% or Vince, whatever. They either create a brand new lineage or they just rename it. And I honestly think they're going to rename it. And if you think that I'm wrong or you think I'm making it up, go to WWE's website and go check it out. So there you go. All right. Later on, I'll show you something with regards to AEW. For all you out there that are into WWE wrestling shirts, Cody Rhodes has two new shirts out. Pretty nice. And he's got the Red Nightmare belt. So I think you could get these autographed as well. Cody Rhodes, hey, he's milking. He is raking. Excuse me. I sound like Becky Lynch tonight. Becky Lynch. She's so drunk on power, she's tongue-tied. Ugh. Her back and forth with Zoe Stark. Oof. Ugh. We'll talk about that. Zoe Stark got extremely angry over something really stupid. But Cody Rhodes, that is his new merchandise. If anybody wants to go check it out. So, shall we talk a little bit about Raw? I think we shall. Let's put the graphic up. There is your Raw recap. Heritage Bank Center in Cincinnati. As I said Saturday, Roman Reigns will defend the World Heavyweight Championship. The WWE Universal Undisputed WWE Championship against Rey Mysterio. Will Seth Rollins defend his championship on that night? Not sure. I don't think so. But for tonight, though, it's all about Seth Rollins' championship. No more digs towards Roman Reigns, if you notice. Finn Balor, I think, probably was the most interesting out of everything tonight. Because early on in the night, people thought Finn Balor disinterested with Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, and Dominic Mysterio in the back, kind of celebrating Rhea Ripley's presentation of a new championship. Finn Balor's in space. And people thought early on, yeah, you know, maybe he just wants out of Judgment Day. What's going to happen? This and that. Maybe, you know, he's got his mind on something. And sure enough, yeah, he did have his mind on something else. 7 years in the making? Maybe. But we'll get into it. So tonight, let me put up my pictures so I could get this ready here. So Monday Night Raw tonight. Hailing from Kansas, by the way. We open up the show with Rhea Ripley getting her new championship. Adam Pearce is out there, and Rhea Ripley, you know, is really excited that she's going to get this new World Heavyweight Championship. This is the last opportunity of her holding the SmackDown Women's Championship, and Adam Pearce presents her with the new Women's World Heavyweight Championship. And Dominic comes out there. Dominic is pissed off. This is going a little bit too fast. So let's put this back. Okay. We're having a technical issue right now. Something is giving me a reset. Why is this giving me a reset? Oh, okay. I can fix it. There we go. All right. There we go. All right. Now we're in business. So tonight, as I said, Rhea Ripley comes out and she's going to get a new championship. I wonder if anybody out there thought we were going to get the same design like SmackDown. I honestly thought we were going to get the same design on SmackDown. Why not? We had a red version and we had a blue version. Now Asuka had kind of like, but if you notice now in hindsight, Asuka's belt is a variation of Roman Reigns' title. And Rhea Ripley's belt, new belt, is a variation of Seth Rollins' championship. But she relinquishes her blue belt to Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce gives her the new championship. She's eyeing it up and she loves it. And the crowd is cheering. They're chanting, "Mommy, Mommy," and they're giving her cheers. And I loved it. They played no music for Dominic Mysterio. Dominic Mysterio runs down to the ring, and those cheers immediately disappeared and were replaced with booze. So he puts the title around her waist, and she says, everybody knows behind a great woman, there's a great man. So she gives the microphone to Dominic Mysterio, and Dominic Mysterio starts having a field day with the fans. He gets on the mic and he says that he calls all the fans disrespectful, and he says that he will always be there to support Rhea Ripley. And then Cody Rhodes' music hits. Almost immediately, his music hits. He comes down to the ring. I thought it was cute that he's standing on the ropes, and you realize that they're going to wait for the second. Whoa. So they're waiting and waiting and waiting. Whoa. And then he finally gets in the ring, and he does his usual stick. So, Kansas, what do you want to talk about? Or maybe we could talk about Brock Lesnar finally having the balls to face me. Nah, that's not happening. He says to Rhea Ripley that he appreciates the legacy that she is just starting to build. He has nothing but respect for Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley's looking at him like, yeah, what's the catch? What's the catch? So then he looks at Dominic Mysterio. We see a little bit of a recap from last week. Cody Rhodes says, you know, we could talk about Brock Lesnar. We could talk about my match later on with The Miz. Or we could talk about Dominic. And they show a little bit of the footage from last week. And he says, instead of those discussions, let's try this. You, me, Money in the Bank. I got to be honest with you, the crowd seemed kind of mild about the reaction. I mean, last week we figured it out. You know, they're going to hold Cody and Brock for SummerSlam. And for now, to give Cody a match, it's going to be Dominic Mysterio. So Dominic gets the mic and he's not saying much. And he says, you know, that as we all saw, he's not afraid of anyone in the world. He embarrassed Cody in the middle of the ring, just like he would embarrass anyone else. Fans are chanting, you suck, you suck. Cody asked the fans, you know, repeat what you just said, and they're chanting even louder, you suck, you suck. So Cody says, hey, Dom, it's a simple yes or a no. So Rhea Ripley grabs the mic, and she says, Dominic accepts. And before you can soak this in a little bit, here comes the Miz. Miz tries to cheap shot Cody from behind. Cody turns around, sees it, gets the Miz out of Dodge, and then this is right before the cheap shot. Dominic Mysterio once again cheap shotting Cody Rhodes, and he leaves the ring, and the crowd is giving Dominic nothing but heat. But because of the Miz being out there, and because Cody Rhodes is already dressed, we realize that we're now getting a match. And sure enough, Cody Rhodes defeats The Miz with the Cody Cutter, followed by Crossroads. You know, they had a match once before. I'm talking about since Cody returned to WWE. Not a bad match, but I don't think anything really stood out all that much. I mean, the crowd is behind Cody big time. You know, they're still talking about Cody's fractured, you know, arm. And it's more of the I am Mike Sharp thing right now. If you look, it's pretty much what it is. You know, you think of storylines, why would WWE clear him to be able to compete in these matches? But it is what it is. So next, this kind of bombed all across. This is the only part of it that I actually got a kick out of. Becky Lynch is in the back. She's about to hit the ring. And we know that she is going to have a match. Contrary to what Kevin Patrick said, Becky Lynch was not going to be facing Becky Green, a new wrestler in WWE. He was mixed it up, and it was Chelsea Green. But before we could even get Becky Lynch to the ring, we see her in the back. She's talking to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens a little bit. She walks away. She walks, and she sees Chad Gable, Otis, and Maxxine Dupri, and they're training, doing all this stuff. And that video at the beginning All right, if you didn't see Raw tonight, just keep that video clip of Maxine Otis and Chad Gable in the brain, because that comes into play a little bit later on. She sees them training. She hits the ring. She gets on the microphone, and she's getting tongue-tied. I mean, look, it happens. It happens, but she's getting tongue-tied, and she's basically saying that, you know, the power of, you know, making champions scared when you have the Money in the Bank briefcase, because the Money in the Bank briefcase gives you power. It makes the champions scared. It makes the champions do stupid things, and champions doing those stupid things makes Becky Lynch better. And then she talks about scared. And she says, you know, talking about being scared, let's bring up Trish Stratus. That Trish Stratus was very scared. She had Trish Stratus beat. And she was about to be exposed at Night of Champions, but Trish Stratus bought an insurance policy in Zoe Stark. So that is now Zoe Stark's cue to come out there. And Zoe Stark, when she comes out there, I don't get it. I don't know if Becky Lynch fucked up or if it's Zoe Stark. I think Becky Lynch probably got her line wrong, because if you go back and you watch it, Zoe comes out and she's like, she's heard enough. She runs down a list of accomplishments. Becky Lynch has a list of accomplishments, but one accomplishment she'll never have is beating Trish Stratus, and another accomplishment she'll never have is defeating Zoe Stark. So Becky starts putting over Zoe Stark big time, and she says, you're very special in this ring. You're a pit bull. And she's saying a lot of positive compliments to Zoe Stark, but then she says, you have no personality. And you would have thought that she said something about Zoe Stark's mother, father, if, you know, whoever. I mean, Zoe Stark pretty much flipped the fuck out, you know, and she starts really getting pissed off. And it was just really, really dumb. And you know how dumb it was? She got so angry because Becky says she's got no personality that the crowd started doing the what chants to Zoe Stark. And you could tell that kind of rattled Zoe Stark a little bit, because she's telling the fans to shut up. That's something you don't do. I mean, Finn Balor, it's a little different, because Finn Balor knows that if he complains to the fans when they're singing, serenading Seth Rollins, that they're just going to do it louder. But Zoe Stark gets pissed the fuck off. And I'm like, because she got no personality? You know, it was just really, really stupid. And then it just gets worse from there. Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville come out there, and they interrupt Zoe Stark. And Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville are making excuses for Sonya's loss last week. And if you remember, that was all fucked up. And Becky Lynch pretty much interrupts them and says, you know what, enough talking. Let's fight. And they have, Becky Lynch has a pretty quick match with Chelsea Green and beats her with the disarmer. And, you know, that was really it. But, you know, the crowd likes Becky Lynch. She is a fan favorite, and she's done a lot in her wrestling career. So there'll always be that polite appreciation for her. But, man, this is quite a few weeks, you know, that she is really just, I don't know, man. Something is off. You know what? Some people may say maybe Vince is feeding too many specific lines. I think Becky Lynch has creative freedom enough to say whatever she wants to say out there. I think the problem with Becky Lynch is, and some people might think this is outdated, a reference that I'm going to say, but it's probably the best way that you'll understand why I say this. I think Becky Lynch sometimes tries to talk like what The Rock used to do. I'm not saying that she's trying to be The Rock, but, you know, and it's not even the third person about the man or this and that. She really doesn't even get into that anymore. But she starts this cadence, and she tries to get on a roll. And the problem is that I think when she starts to get on a roll, maybe not necessarily that she, it's almost like she's got a little brain fog. and she kind of forgets some of the lines or some of the words she's supposed to say, and then she starts stuttering and this and that, and then it just goes off the rails, and it doesn't feel natural. It doesn't sound natural. It doesn't come across natural. Go back, like I said, about the Zoe Stark thing. You know, like, Zoe Stark getting that angry about the personality thing, it just looked awful. It sounded awful. It sounded like Becky Lynch was supposed to say something else, because it was just overreacting. Like I said, when the crowd hasn't been really hitting Zoe with the what's. Soon as that part happened, they followed with the what chants. But Becky Lynch wins with the disarmer, and we move on. Later on, as we come back from commercial, we see the Judgment Day in the back. As you can see closely, Damian Priest is talking to Rhea Ripley. Dominic Mysterio's there. They were celebrating the fact that she's got this beautiful new looking championship. And Finn Balor is just disinterested. And Damian Priest also talks about how he wants to go alone tonight against Matt Riddle, doesn't want anybody out there. So you see Finn Balor disinterested. You hear Damian Priest saying that he wants to take on Matt Riddle all by himself. Are they teasing a possible breakup? And then Damian Priest, you know, takes note and he looks over and he sees Finn Balor and he's like, hey man, are you all right? Are you all right? And Finn basically says, yeah, I'm good. I just, I got a lot on my mind. So Damian Priest is like, okay. So Damian Priest has a match against Matt Riddle. And much to my surprise, and I'm very happy with this, Damian Priest defeats Matt Riddle to advance to Money in the Bank. It was an excellent match, a fun match. We had no interference. Damian Priest earned the victory. I know a lot of people today were very, very concerned. Damian Priest losing more matches than you realize lately. And I know I know the popular thing right now is to Photoshop titles on LA Knight and the briefcase. And people see how good LA Knight is. They want to see that turn into success. Not just occasional wins here and there, but momentum. You know, wins are fine. There's a big difference between wins and momentum. You know, you look at, and I don't like comparing WWE with AEW, but when you have some people in AEW, especially young stars, and they're on Dark and Elevation all the time, and the next thing you know, they're 65-3, you know, and then you look at them, you're like, you know, but didn't, like, there's no momentum. You know, you could just give people, like Jade Cargill. You know, for the last 6 weeks, I talked emphatically that Jade Cargill needs to lose that championship, that'll be the best thing that could happen to her. That'll be similar to Austin Theory losing that briefcase. And a lot of people thought it was nuts. No, they're going to go 100-0. And every time she got an advertised match against Rampage, outside of the first Taya Valkyrie rematch, nothing recently, it just felt like, oh, yeah, here's a win. Oh, let's just raise the number. You know, yes, back in 1998, was it, with Goldberg? You know, when he was going 20-0 and 30-0 and 40-0. Yeah, there was no doubt in anybody's mind that he was going to lose. Everybody knew he was going to win. But the difference was, Goldberg was such a phenomenon at that time. And I know younger fans of today that only know Goldberg of the last couple of years, or maybe even the last 15-plus years when he was in WWE. Trust me, in the 90s, when Goldberg came on the scene, it was a freak of nature. You know, people were just, like, blown away. He would do a spear, a jackhammer, and you look at the crowd in the chest. People just jumped out of their seats. Like, they just saw somebody, like, a massive car accident. And I say this in a complimentary way. You know, you're walking down, you could be sitting down somewhere, and then something, like, goes on. Holy shit! People would jump out of their chairs. So people were fine with 20-0 and 25-0 and 30-0. But, you know, people, momentum is more important than anything else, because you could just throw wins out and it doesn't really feel like it amounts to anything. Damian Priest, You know, people want to see that momentum also, just like people want to see it with LA Knight. But I got to tell you, it certainly feels like they are trying to position Damian Priest to be take it to the next step. And I'm absolutely looking forward to it. And we had a little bit of a confrontation. Yes, Damian Priest, you know, kind of being heelish, because they're not going to play their cards. They're going to milk this. This is going to go on for a long while. Riddle defeated in the ring. Here comes Gunther. Gunther don't like Riddle, especially after what Riddle did to he threw Ludwig Kaiser over the furniture or those storage bins that were in the back, and then he put the ankle lock on Giovanni Vinci, and Giovanni Vinci was unable to compete tonight. So Gunther has a reason. Plus, he don't like Riddle. You know, he doesn't like him. I mean, is that a good enough reason for you why Gunther just wants to beat the fuck out of Riddle? I don't like you. He doesn't like him. So Gunther goes out there. As Damian Priest is walking to the back, Gunther comes out. They look at each other. Damian Priest looks at Gunther and says, God, pick the bones. Go pick the bones. So what happens? Gunther, Ludwig Kaiser, they both hit the ring, and they both take out Matt Riddle. Leave his ass laying. And yes, the good thing is, it seems like we are going to get Matt Riddle versus Gunther. Could very well happen at Money in the Bank. You know, the bad thing is, we know what the outcome of Raw tonight's going to be. I mean, I don't think anybody expected Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to lose the championships tonight. But when you saw this earlier in the day, or in the night, and Matt Riddle's not stretchered out, you know he's coming back to avenge Gunther. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. Since WrestleMania, we've seen this multiple times. It's too predictable. I mean, it's still fun. We had a great main event tonight. I mean, they knocked it out of the park. But, you know, and you kind of know, like, you're just like, okay, when is Riddle? Honestly, guys, Matt Riddle came out tonight at 10:58 and 45 seconds. Yes, I was looking at the clock. How many of you out there were looking at the clock also and was like, okay, when is Gunther coming out? Oh, we're almost at 10:59. Wow. Excuse me. When is Riddle coming out? I mean, when you're more thinking about when is Riddle going to come out instead of just enjoying the match and soaking it in, that's kind of a problem. And I think everybody and their mother knew that Matt Riddle was going to come out and get involved. So now we get a little bit more. We get a segment in the back with Indy Shear. And I liked it, but I was a little kind of, I don't know, confused that apparently by showing fear, that's showing respect. But Jinder Mahal starts talking, and Jinder Mahal is with Indy Shear, and he says, last week our opponents quickly became prey. Before the bell rang, our opponents are still walking, so that's a problem. So our work is still not done. But Jinder Mahal issues another challenge to Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander because they showed respect when they showed fear in their eyes. I rewound it and I said, I don't know. I've never heard of that before. Like, you show fear in my eyes, you're respecting me? Yeah, I know what you could interpret that. You're intimidated. But all right, whatever. Whatever. You know, as people say, okay. I mean, okay, whatever. You know, I don't know. To me, it was a good promo, but I was a little confused with it. Bronson Reed defeats Ricochet by disqualification. They were having a decent-looking match. Shinsuke Nakamura comes out. He wants a little bit of a closer seat. He wants to watch the match. Remember, Ricochet and Shinsuke Nakamura already qualified for Money in the Bank. So during the match, we have Ricochet getting some offense on Bronson Reed. Hits a nice acai moonsault gets a two count. Shinsuke Nakamura is at ringside watching this. Ricochet goes for a moonsault to the outside of the ring, and Bronson Reed catches him. Bronson Reed just decides to throw Ricochet into Shinsuke Nakamura. This makes Shinsuke Nakamura one very angry Japanese man. So when Nakamura gets his composure, Bronson Reed, as he's about to climb the rope to hit the tsunami on Ricochet, Shinsuke Nakamura kicks him in the head. So we get a disqualification. Now, because it's Money in the Bank and Nakamura and Ricochet are not supposed to be friends in the match, after the disqualification, Ricochet is like, the fuck you doing? You just cost me a loss. And as you can see, Bronson Reed is laughing like, yeah, I won. So they have a little bit of a falling out. And then Bronson Reed decides he's going to beat up on both of them. And before he could get any additional offense, they get the upper hand. And we get, first in quite a while, we get our first holy shit chant. Haven't heard holy shit chants on Raw in quite some time. They were calling it a superplex, but Bronson Reed was on the middle rope. I mean, still impressive. But Ricochet and Shinsuke Nakamura suplex him. Crowd is chanting holy shit like crazy. And we go to commercial. We come back from commercial, and Ricochet and Nakamura are in the back, and Ricochet basically says to Nakamura, if you ever do that again, then you and I are going to have a problem. And Nakamura says, next week I take on Bronson Reed, and I'm not going to fail like you did. Okay. So now we get, I don't know about this, man. I don't know where they're going with it. Byron Saxton is with Natty. And basically, Byron Saxton says, you haven't been yourself. It sounds like a bad Snickers commercial. You haven't been yourself since you lost your match to Rhea Ripley at Night of Champions. And Natty's basically saying, like, well, you know what? Maybe not being myself is good. You know, everybody talks about how, who is it, Buff Bagwell? Who's the one that everybody has said over the years has turned babyface and heel like how we all change our underwear? Was it Buff Bagwell? I think there's somebody else that people always brought up as well. But how many times has Natty like been a heel, been a babyface? I mean, Big Show? Okay, Big Show. We'll go with Big Show. Yeah, Paul White, Big Show. I think she's got Big Show. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised. She probably, Big Show and Buff Bagwell combined, I think that's her. I mean, there were times, not like within the last year, that she was a clear-cut heel. And I'm watching an episode of SmackDown, and she's walking down the ring. Like, shaking hands. And I'm like, wait, did I miss a segment? Was I taking a shit, like, the week before, and I missed something? I mean, it's just repeatedly. So Natty basically says, you know, maybe it's better if I'm not myself. And she walks off like this. It was like seven seconds at most. I honestly thought that Baron Corbin originally cut her off like they were doing with Baron Corbin for a little while. You remember every time Baron Corbin was going to be interviewed in the back, and they would be like, oh, no, we got to cut it off. Oh, Seth Rollins, what do you... I thought that that's what they did. I watched it back, and now he's like, well, maybe it's better if I'm not myself. And she disappears. So next thing you know, you get Byron Saxton. He turns to his right, and there is Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And they're having a little bit of a conversation. Kevin Owens is talking about wanting to get a little bit of revenge, on a little payback on Gunther after last week. Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser show up, and Ludwig Kaiser's like, payback is what Gunther did to Riddle in the ring. Payback is what we did last week. And Sami Zayn, he's like, oh, well, it took three of you to take out Kevin Owens, this and that. And they basically challenge Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens to put the titles on the line tonight. And again, I'm a huge fan of Kevin Owens. He is one of my favorites. He's in my top five favorites. But we have complained, and we saw this a couple of weeks ago. And we were like, I hope they're not suddenly making him act like he's on speed. Remember that a couple of weeks ago? It was like, you know, what's him like talking like 50 miles an hour? And he did it again tonight. And, you know, he's just rambling, racing, this, this, and that. And Adam Pearce comes over. Is there a problem? Sami Zayn's like, no, no, there's no problem. And Gunther wants the titles on the line. Kevin Owens is fine with it. And then he storms off, and then Gunther tells Adam Pearce, make it a title match tonight. And later on, they would ultimately make it a title match. And as we already discussed, we know pretty much what the outcome was, thanks to Matt Riddle with a little bit of distraction. But, you know, Kevin Owens, once again, you know, acting like he's on speed. Got to call it like we see it. So now, which might have been my favorite segment of the night, Finn Balor. He wants to go out of the ring, come to the ring, and he wants to talk. So he hits the ring, and he immediately starts talking about Seth Rollins. He's been waiting 7 years to say something, and he wants Seth Rollins to come out there. No jokes, straight up, come out there. Seth Rollins comes out there, and the crowd is serenading him. And honestly, if Seth Rollins doesn't tell the fans, you know, all right, you know, let's hear what he has to say. Like, pretty much what Seth is telling him is like, all right, quiet, you know, we're running late. That crowd just kept going and kept going and kept going. And Finn Balor looks at the crowd and is like, are you done? Are you done? This isn't funny. Are you done? And they're doing it louder. And he knows it. He knows the only person that could calm the segment down is Seth Rollins. Whenever I get a little pressed for time, come on. Like, Seth Rollins will say something and the crowd will bring it down a little bit. So Finn Balor, you know, he's playing up with the crowd and he's like, you know, this isn't funny. This is serious. And they're getting louder. So Rollins asks Kansas, are you having a good time? And then Finn Balor's like, I'm not having a good time. I waited 7 years to tell you this. So Seth Rollins tells the crowd, let's hear what he has to say. And he says to Finn, what do you have to say? And the reason why I'm showing you this old picture on the computer right now is because Finn Balor talks about how 7 years ago he was drafted to Monday Night Raw. He beat Roman Reigns on his first night. 3 weeks later, he beat Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship. He had the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows, and it was all because of Seth Rollins. Torn bicep, torn pec, torn labrum. He was talking so fast, I didn't write down what he broke also. I know he broke something. But Finn Balor is not complaining. He's not complaining. He says, but Seth, you took everything from me. You took my momentum. You took my title. You took a year off of my career. But now it is my turn. I'm going to take your momentum. I'm going to take your title. And I'm going to take it all at Money in the Bank. So Seth Rollins is looking at him, and Seth Rollins starts laughing. And when he first said what he said, I thought it was stupid. Because we've all followed Finn Balor over the last 7 years, and he's been a badass. So it's not like Finn Balor has been a joke for the last 7 years. Yeah, we kind of missed the demon stuff a little bit. But Seth Rollins is laughing, and he says the reason why he's laughing is because this is the Finn Balor that he's been waiting for over the last 7 years. Because 7 years ago, we went on different trajectories. One of us got better. One of us got bitter. Rollins says he doesn't deny that he has done bad things over the last 7 years, but he's made memories for the fans. He's changed, he's adapted, and now he's the greatest version of Seth freaking Rollins. And if you want a match against me at Money in the Bank, you got it. But what I want to know is which Finn Balor is going to show up. Are you going to bring that Balor? He's talking about the Balor tonight, the way he's talking. Are you going to bring that Balor tonight? Or are you going to bring the Balor that's been a shell of himself, someone who's been walking around like a little bitch? And Set It Fast got out of there, and the music hits, and segment is done. We all know what the outcome is going to be with this match. I shouldn't say it like that. We all know that Seth Rollins is going to keep this championship. If Seth loses it anytime soon, people will call it a colossal failure, especially when people want to, WWE wants this to be respected equally like Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, his reign is dwindling down. It is more storyline than anything else, if you think about it. And Seth Rollins being a workhorse that is trying to elevate it and to get people to shut up about calling it a token championship. And the amount of work that this guy does in the ring, outside the ring, you go up to his face and say, hey, how do you enjoying your token championship reign? You know, I mean, that's disrespectful. I mean, more than anything else, it's disrespectful. And I think Seth Rollins has worked his ass off enough that even if you don't like him, you got to respect the hustle. So this match is set for Money in the Bank. It's happening. And I kind of like it because it makes sense. Finn Balor, you know, unfortunately had to relinquish the championship 7 years ago. We remember the buckle bomb. We remember everything that happened. So Seth Rollins, you know, let me make this one point before some people say this, and I know some people will, and I'm not criticizing you. Some people will say Finn Balor had many opportunities over the last 7 years to get his revenge on Seth Rollins. Right, but it's a little different. Seth Rollins has the World Heavyweight Championship now. So it's to a different level when you want to take somebody's World Heavyweight Championship off of them. Just having a match is not enough. And they've had bouts, but this is a little bit different. So the match is on. The match is on. So now we get, and I got to be honest with you, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed it. I know it's something small, and yes, the WWE referee suddenly acted like she had no idea Ronda Rousey was right around Shayna Baszler's area, but we had a very quick match. Shayna Baszler defeating Raquel Rodriguez. And how she won it was Shayna Baszler was near the ropes and basically rolled up Raquel Rodriguez. But little things like this, I actually popped for. If you look at this closely, this looked like, and I hate comparing the two, but this is a great comparison. Look at last week when Chelsea Green was trying to get involved with Sonya Deville. The referee locked eyes with Chelsea Green. And, you know, because you press for time, the referee doesn't eject her, acts like he didn't see nothing. Even Corey Graves last week was like, the referee is awfully, you know, lenient tonight. It looked awful on TV. But tonight, when Shayna Baszler rolled up Raquel Rodriguez, Ronda Rousey took her left foot and not only put it on Raquel Rodriguez's ass, but pushed and pushed with so much weight. Yeah, it kind of rocked her back a little bit, but the point is that there was absolutely no way Raquel Rodriguez was going to kick out. Little things like that, that you know, like that she legitimately would not have been able to kick out. That shit that I like, man. It looked great. And the camera was in the perfect position for it. So, you know, not a big deal, you know, not a big match, but still, I enjoyed the outcome. Raquel Rodriguez, you know, with that look on her face. Hey, you know what? I know some people are frustrated with the way Raquel Rodriguez is being used. Give me that disgruntled look on her face, like I keep fucking losing, rather than that smiling stuff that she was doing. Remember, she was just smiling like, oh, the world is great. My car just got stolen and everything is good. My relative is just diagnosed with something and it's all good. I see kittens everywhere. I don't know who the fuck came up with that. It's funny. Before Vince brought himself back, you know, from his, you know, sabbatical. I don't remember people saying like, oh, that's Vince making a smile, you know, because they thought Vince was no longer around. All right. So we get another segment that was very interesting. We go to the back and we see Finn Balor. Wait, oh, okay. We got one thing to get into first. All right, we got to get one thing into first. Chad Gable beats Eric of the Viking Raiders. And during this match, we had Valhalla charge Maxxine Dupri around ringside. And as on cue, and it looked good, and Chad Gable's training paid off, Maxxine Dupri arm dragged. She took down Valhalla. So all that training paid off for one spot. And then almost immediately after Chad Gable with the fruit roll-up, or the sunset flip, technically. We got to call it a sunset flip. And they win. And as we've been saying for a little while now, the Viking Raiders are done. Seriously. When you do all those beautiful vignettes with fire and sacrifice or simulated sacrifice and blood and nighttime and all this ritual shit. And then basically Valhalla's getting arm dragged and you see the Viking Raiders losing like 3-minute matches. Sorry. How do you recover from this? They brought him to NXT for like 2 weeks. It didn't do nothing. They had the New Day, you know, like trying to elevate them. It didn't do nothing. You know, at some point, you got to cut your losses. I have nothing against the Viking Raiders personally, but honestly, they just don't have it. What are they going to do, comedy shit again? I mean, you know, if you remember some of my predictions in the past when some teams were not getting over them, FTR was a great example. FTR was not getting over, and I said, you know what? The only way they're going to get over in WWE's eyes, they're going to have to do comedy. And that's when they started doing the stuff with the Usos. Remember the shower? And, you know, they were trying to do comedy shit with FTR. They've tried it with the Grizzled Young Veterans. They tried it with many teams. The Viking Raiders, I wouldn't be surprised if they do something stupid where the Viking Raiders hang out with Alpha Academy. I know that sounds stupid and nuts, will not be surprised if we see the Viking Raiders hanging out with the Alpha Academy. Just for something. So that's what we got tonight with that match. So now we go to the back and Finn Balor is talking to JD McDonagh and Damian Priest shows up. And, you know, Finn Balor is happy for Damian Priest. Oh, congrats. You know, you're in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Damian Priest, you know, little taken back a little bit, like, oh, so, you know, you wanted a world heavyweight title shot, you know, and you feel the friction in the air. I mean, Damian Priest had to go through a qualifying match, now has to win Money in a Bank and grab the briefcase and get the title shot, and Finn Balor just had to go out there and talk, you know. Problem is, last week, Seth Rollins took on Damian Priest. Damian Priest got an opportunity. But we're supposed to forget about last week. You know, that didn't happen. But they have a little bit of friction. JD McDonagh talking to Finn Balor. Damian Priest shows up. But then after, they have a little bit of respect for each other. They wish each other good luck. And Finn Balor, you know, said to Damian Priest, you know, if you win Money in the Bank, would you try to cash it on me? And Damian Priest, nah. And Damian Priest tells Finn Balor, hey, get it done. Make it work. Get the job done and Money in the Bank. So Damian Priest being a little bit more stand up, you know, just telling Finn Balor, you know what? Get it done. Make it work. Win that championship. If you look a little bit closely at the position, they are absolutely positioning Damian Priest as a babyface in the near future. I think the fans want it. They see it. There's a lot of respect. Even in his matches, you look at that crowd closely, they do show appreciation for Damian Priest. He has been really, really working his ass off. yeah, it's going to feel a little bit different with Damian Priest not in the Judgment Day anymore. But, you know, understand, too, he's not a spring chicken. You know, I think he's got to be around 40. You know, so he doesn't have the mileage left that you think. And, yes, Finn Balor is up there in age, too. But understand, Finn Balor had 7 years since being drafted to Raw. Damian Priest has been on the main roster for a couple of years now. Let's not deny that. I mean, it's not like he just got brought up from NXT. But Damian Priest has not been in the world championship title hunt at all. But then again, when you think about it, not many people have. Roman Reigns has had the stranglehold for over 1,000 days. Yes, one title 1,000 plus days, the other title 435 days. That's still well over a year. And, you know, it's, listen, Roman Reigns' run has been historic. It's been awesome. The storyline has been great. Yes, we're complaining now that they are milking shit a little bit too long, which is what they've been doing. Even look at Riddle and Gunther. Look at how many weeks the shit is going on, and they still haven't even announced a match. You know, there's been back and forth and interference and matches being caused, you know, thrown out or outcomes being changed because of their actions. You're going to look back on it and you're going to be like, wow, it took them 5 or 6 weeks to just put this match together. And remember, there was shit going on, you know, since WrestleMania. WrestleMania was the beginning of April. We're 2.5 months in, almost 3 months in since then. Yeah, Damian Priest is 40. Finn Balor is 41. You know, so they don't, you know, Damian Priest doesn't have that many years left that you could start really, you know, building. You could feel it. It seems organic. And they're going to take their time. You know, he may not leave Judgment Day until next year. It might even happen at WrestleMania. Who knows? Who knows? But Damian Priest telling Finn Balor, make it work. Take it home. So now we got, it was a good video. I'm not going to deny it. Rhea Ripley, obviously, is the future megastar in WWE. She's just broken ground. You know, remember, leading up to WrestleMania, it wasn't all as good as it felt. Do you remember the build with her versus Charlotte? You know, there were many weeks that you thought that they were intentionally trying to put you to sleep. Oh, Charlotte, at WrestleMania, you will respect that I have earned the opportunity. Nah, man, beat the fuck out of people. You know, like, now we're just a part of Rhea Ripley's world. So, but she's won the title, and there hasn't been much done to it. This vignette tonight was great. But I'm saying to myself, okay, who's going after her? I mean, who's going after her? We talked about this. Kevin and I talked about this, I think, a month ago. We were talking about Backlash or maybe even Night of Champions. Like, out of everybody on the Raw women's roster, that Natty, you got Becky and you got Ronda and Shayna, forget it. We all knew they were going to get women's tag titles, but there's really not much of anybody. So they did a nice video package for Rhea Ripley, but, you know, people want to see her have matches. Now, I saw some people today, oh, there's going to be intergender matches coming up. The only reason why that even came out is because Rhea Ripley in an interview last week said, you know, I would love to have intergender matches, and people are trying to get an exclusive. Oh, yeah, my sources tell me that they're going to do it. So, you know, again, good video, but it's like, okay, what's going on with her championship? So then we get the main event tonight. We have Gunther, Ludwig Kaiser challenging Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. Sami Zayn, I don't recall seeing this shirt. Maybe he has worn it before, but I like it. It's like a rendition of Kevin Owens' shirt, the KO. Sami wrestling with a shirt tonight, and this was a great match. But again, when you see so much of this in the last 2 months, you kind of get a little bored at it. You know, if you remember, you know, the Usos going up with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. You know, it was happening so much that pay-per-view matches, other than the outcome and the swerves, like going through the motions just felt like regular TV. Imperium versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn was a great match tonight. But because we've seen this rodeo several times in the last 2 months, you knew what to expect. Good match, near falls, moonsaults, kicks, super kicks. You're going to see Gunther hitting his moves, Kevin Owens hitting his moves, shit happening outside the ring, in the ring. You know, and then you get what we expected. Matt Riddle shows up at ringside, and the officials are trying to prevent Matt Riddle from getting involved in the match. Gunther comes out and kicks Matt Riddle, knocks him on his ass. This leaves Sami Zayn and Ludwig Kaiser in the ring. And as we expected last week, you said it, I said it, Ludwig Kaiser is going to eat the pin. And sure enough, Sami Zayn hits him with the Blue Thunder Bomb and pins Ludwig Kaiser. And we go off the air with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, still your undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions. Now, I will say this. They did, right before this match happened, they did have a backstage segment where Sami Zayn confronted Kevin Owens about, you know, what's been going on lately. And, you know, you just seem off. And Kevin Owens started again with the speed. You know, up until WrestleMania, everywhere I looked, all I would see was Bloodline. And I didn't want to be around Bloodline anymore. But everywhere I looked, it was always Bloodline. And now after WrestleMania, everywhere I looked, there's Imperium. And they're always saying things. And I don't understand what they say. I know I should understand what they say. But I'm like, oh, God, stop. Am I wrong? I'm telling you, it's like he took speed. And it's not even like, it's more like he had 8 cups of coffee. It feels fake. It feels forced. You know, if you get agitated, there's a difference between, listen, there's a difference between sounding agitated and then sounding like you're on speed. And yeah, he sounds like he's on speed. You know what he sounds like? This is a true story. Quick DT story. It's only about a minute. This is no bullshit. I've always been fat. All right. When I was in high school, it was either freshman year or sophomore year of high school, I tried out for the football team, made a couple of cuts. In the end, I didn't make the final cut. I was probably at the time, I would say maybe 5'11". Now I'm 6'3", but I was about 5'11 or 6 foot. And about 265 pounds. And I was trying to lose weight, but I'm not one to work out or really go to the gym. Back then, I think you had fiber trim, you know, DEXA trim, you know, shit like that. And I remember my friend saying to me, my friend Jimmy, no bullshit, swear, I'll never do a show again. My friend Jimmy said to me, he's like, you know, if you want, I could get you something that gives you a little bit of energy. You know, maybe you just get a little energy and you could just burn off, you know, that way. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine with that. He got me these little red pills. And he said, you know, take one, but take it early in the day. And it'll give you a boatload of energy. And I remember taking it and hanging out with my friends one day. And it's like I shot hoops for about 2 hours by myself. And trust me, I sucked in basketball. I probably had at least 100 air balls. I had so much energy. I'm like, poof, like just nonstop, like the Energizer Bunny. It was speed. They think they were called uppers. No joke. He sold me speed. And it worked. But that's what Sami Zayn sounds like. Sami Zayn sounds like somebody who is wired. He doesn't sound like somebody who is agitated. Do you want Kevin Owens? Do you want Kevin Owens to sound like, you know, like a comedic goof? I don't. I mean, it's funny. And when he says, I want to kick somebody's ass, fine. That's cool. That's good with me. And he works his ass off out there. But this, it's not very good. Hopefully they stop that. And please do not do any segments. Could you imagine it, Sammy? Kevin, I booked you an appointment to do some Zen. I don't need Zen. I just don't want to see. Everywhere I go, I see Gunther. I turn around, I see Imperium, and they're talking about us. And I don't understand what they're talking about us, but I should know what it. Please. You know, it's 10, 11 o'clock when they do this stuff. I want to chill. I want to relax. I want to do the show. I want to go to sleep after. Watching Kevin Owens do that makes my brain race. Makes me feel like I had 7 cups of coffee. Enough of that. Some people think that Kevin Owens will turn on Sami Zayn. I know a lot of people think that. We will see. We will see. But that was your episode of Raw tonight. One thing I will say about the main event match tonight, did you take notice? Kansas is big time into Gunther as well. Because during that main event tonight, let's go Sammy, let's go Gunther, let's go Sammy, let's go Gunther. They had dueling chants going. And I thought that was pretty fucking cool, man. Enjoyed it. Enjoyed it. Not a bad Raw. You know, right now, as far as Money in the Bank goes, the men's side is set. We got Ricochet, LA Knight, Santos Escobar, Damian Priest, Butch, and Shinsuke Nakamura. We're not going to do predictions yet, but I think right now it comes down to either LA Knight or Damian Priest. So I have to think about that a little bit. Also, for Money in the Bank, we have Cody Rhodes versus Dominic Mysterio. I know people are losing their shit. My response is eat a Snickers. It's one match. It's one premium live event. They are milking the story. It's not even finished the story. It's called milking the story. That's what this is now. You call it milking the story. The bloodline is being milked. I'm telling you, if the creative was an animal, it would be like, what's the animal that has like 9 nipples and they all squirt milk? Cows? It's cows, right? If WWE creative was an animal, it would be a cow. And every nipple is being milked. All the storylines are being milked extra weeks. There's milk everywhere. Cody Rhodes, yeah, Brock Lesnar will show up. I don't think he'll show up in the UK, but he's going to show up. Cody Rhodes is going to have to say something vicious that even Brock is like, or maybe like we said, maybe Cody ends up saying, you know what, Brock, if you're not going to come here to me, I'm going to come to you. And then maybe we'll see some footage where the cameras go with Cody Rhodes to Brock Lesnar's ranch. Now, if they're going to try to make it realistically, then we have to see Brock Lesnar with his fucking cowboy hat with a rifle. Get the fuck off my property. You know, but I don't think we're going to get that far. And Seth Rollins will be defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Finn Balor. You know, we haven't talked about the start time. Make note of that. 3 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, July 1st. So normally I do the Don Tony show at 11 a.m. I would probably still do it at that time. Not 100% sure yet. By next week, we should have some clarity as far as what we're going to do there. So right now you have the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Now, one thing I did want to tell you. Right now for the women's Money in the Bank ladder match, you have Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark, Bayley, and Io Sky. There's one slot remaining. Now, if you remember, I think about 2 weeks ago, I said that they were going to do a second chance match for the women's side of things. Could have done it on the men's side as well. But we may get a second chance match on SmackDown this Friday. And some people are thinking that we may end up seeing Shotzi versus, I don't remember who else lost. Someone else lifted their arm when they were pinned. Who wrestled last week? We had Bayley against, she took on Shotzi. No, Io Sky took on Shotzi. Who did Bayley take on last week? I think they both had their shoulder up with the 3 count. Mia Yim, yes, 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 you're right. I think we might see Meechan, Mia Yim versus Shotzi Friday as a second chance because both of their matches, their shoulder was up on the count of 3. I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but people brought that up, like, you know, both times their shoulders were up. And I could picture, on SmackDown, Meechan and Shotzi go up to Adam Pearce. Did you see what happened? We were pinned and our shoulders were up. That's not fair. You should put both of us in the match. And Adam Pearce would be like, there's only one spot left. So you know what? You two battle in the ring and the winner gets in the spot. That could end up being. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Now, got to get into a couple of quick things about AEW, especially with the Collision stuff. But I wanted to give you some notes as far as ratings. Biography and Steve Austin returned last night, and we got stuff coming up. So there was no rating for last week. I just wanted to point that out. SmackDown this past Friday did 2,278,000. That is down from the week prior's 2,563,000. But remember, the week prior was the monster, you know, SmackDown right after Jimmy super kicked Roman and, you know, obviously what went down. And Solo, you know, turning on Jimmy Uso. We also had the NBA Finals. And it was funny because SmackDown this past Friday did a better number than what they have been averaging, and we still had the NBA Finals. AEW Rampage, I think, scored the lowest in its history, and a regular time slot. 291,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior's 357. Impact Wrestling this past Thursday, very, very good. Once again, 137,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior's 126. 137 is still a shit number, but they're up about 22-23% this year so far compared to last year. So they are in some nice momentum right now. And Wednesday I'll talk about Alex Shelley a little bit more, becoming their champion. We'll talk about a few other tidbits with Impact Wrestling, but they're doing good right now. And New Japan, unfortunately, is not. They scored 48,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior's 55,000. Dynamite last Wednesday, the 7th, did 903,000. That is down from the week prior's 923. NXT last Tuesday did 615,000. That is slightly up from the week prior's 607. And Raw last week, nice little rebound. 1,828,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior's 1,611. So some nice numbers there. Yesterday, I talked briefly, and I'll get into it more on Wednesday, but I just wanted to show you the graphic because Wednesday is just audio only, so you won't be able to see it. But, you know, Wednesday I'm going to rant a little bit about some news outlets out there that are now claiming that AEW Collision's poor ticket sales in Canada is because they experience bad weather in the summertime. It's one of the reasons. All right. Now, you want to know how bad it's going on right now in Canada? These numbers are courtesy of WrestleNomics. Okay. Check this out. This is just Canada now. June 24th in Toronto, right now, they have about 1,850 tickets sold. And remember, this is not all people who are attending. This also includes people who bought to resell. June 29th's Collision in Hamilton, as of right now, has only sold 837 tickets. 837. July 8th in Regina, they have only sold 1,395 tickets. And in Calgary, and let me tell you why this is a bad number. In Calgary, they have sold 3,660 tickets. That is at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. If I am correct, that building holds 19,000. It's either 17,000 or 19,000. They've sold not even 4,000 tickets. When I actually saw reports that weather played a factor in it, I had to show you this. I gotta show you what this looks like. All right, check this out. On your screen right now, and I did this myself, and that's why I put my watermark on it. On the left is the average weather in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. And on the right is the average weather where I live in Queens, New York. Now just, it's playing. And I didn't even ask for it to play. All right, let's go back to Hamilton. Let's go back to Hamilton. Just wait 1 second. I'll pause it. It's coming up here. It's coming right. There we go. All right. This is the average weather. Now, focus on July. Because the collision match tapings are the end of June, beginning of July. If you look at Hamilton, Ontario, they average 2.9 inches of rain in July. Here in New York, we average 4.3. In Hamilton, they average 7 days of rain in July. Here in New York, we have 7 days of rain. Do you see any major difference in the weather in Canada? Here's Toronto. In July, they average 3.1 inches of rain. Here in New York, we average 4.3. We have the same number of days as far as rain days as well. We go to Regina. Regina, this is even more pathetic. Regina, they average 2.2 inches of rain. We average 4.3, almost double. They have 5 rain days a month, and we average 7. And you look at this. How could anybody in their right mind actually blame weather? Oh, the weather sucks, so people, they go away, this and that. What the fuck is wrong with Canadians? Seriously, Calgary gets 2.6 inches of rain, and we get 4.3. So I did that research because when I heard that, I'm like, ain't no fucking way, man. There ain't no way. Know what the problem is with these tickets? There's two problems. There's two problems. And I've talked about this before. And again, I know people keep saying to me, DT, you should be tweeting things like this. This way people see it. And when it happens and you're right, everybody acknowledges, nah, I do it on the shows. You tune in. You deserve to hear the truth. And if people don't hear it on the outside, oh well. Two problems. Number one, as far as collision goes, the only match that's been announced so far, even though there's like 7 tapings, already 7 events with tickets on sale, the only match that they've advertised so far is the debut this Saturday, which is Samoa Joe, Jay White, and Juice Robinson versus FTR and CM Punk. That's all they have advertised. So everybody in Canada, they have no idea what the matches are going to be. So they want to know why they're spending $500 Canadian, $200 Canadian, $300 Canadian, $140 Canadian. These seats are not cheap. So just because you have a bunch of people showing up, you know, is CM Punk going to take on Andrade or is he going to take on Aaron Solo? So people want to know what matches are we going to get. I am telling you here right now, once Collision airs this Saturday and we see AEW's hand presented to us, they see where some of these storylines are going to go, where some of these feuds are going to go, who else is going to appear that have not been announced as of yet. Once Saturday's debut show happens, then they will start putting out loads of matches. So next week, once they start hearing what matches are going to be going down, if they're good, you will see these ticket sales pick up big time. I really believe that. Here is another problem, and this is a big one. And you could tell that this is all Tony Khan and nobody else. For everybody on video, just look at your screen. For everybody on audio, I will just tell it to you. All right? They have the thumbnail for Collision this Saturday, and it's got CM Punk. Very nice. Then we have Saturday, June 24th, and oh, look, we see CM Punk again. Oh, look at this. August 5th in Greenville, South Carolina. Oh, look at the thumbnail. It's CM Punk. Can you guess what the next one is going to be? Oh, look, it's CM Punk. We got all these cute little poses. Look at these nice little poses. You know, every single thumb. And yes, before anybody says anything, they have put thumbnails out there with other wrestlers. But for every 10 times they put out thumbnails for these Collision events, 9 of them are just CM Punk. they have not increased the value of Miro, Andrade, Thunder Rosa, FTR, House of Black, Powerhouse Hobbs, Ricky Starr. They have not bothered. They think that CM Punk is for Collision is what Roman Reigns is for SmackDown. They think that in all these areas that they all want to see CM Punk. There's no way that Tony Khan has been shielded that much that he doesn't realize that a lot of his employees jerked off a lot of these news people online, and for a year, those news people were convincing AEW fans in droves that CM Punk is a cancer, that he just is only out for himself, that he hates the elite, he's not professional. He's getting millions and he's acting like a child. He doesn't conform. You know, they have spent a year to make CM Punk look evil, right down to the day that CM Punk's announcement of his return was made. Wade Keller, who is one of many, Wade Keller goes online and says, wrestlers in AEW have told me that they will walk out if CM Punk returns. Fuck you, man. Seriously. That's not news. All right? There's people that I deal with in the insurance field that are absolute assholes that I don't want to do business with. There are people that have to deal with people every day that they don't like. But to put that out there, to try to push this narrative that CM Punk is so unpopular, people are willing to quit their jobs over it, all you're doing is trying to make CM Punk look more like shit. I guarantee you that there's people that work in AEW that can't fucking stand the elite. But they're getting paid so well, and outside of AEW, they wouldn't even be worth the shit in the indie circuit, and they keep their mouth shut because they know where their bread is being buttered. And how come they don't post that? So these people have fucked up AEW so bad, and now Tony Khan is like, oh, let me push CM Punk everywhere. Look, everyone, it's the tribal chief. Look, everyone, he's going to be on the whole 2 hours of Collision. CM Punk is going to be 1/8 of the show. And every 10 of these thumbnails, 9 of them are just CM Punk. I guarantee you there's a whole bunch of people looking at it. It's like, I don't care about CM Punk all that much. Start selling everybody else. And that's a big problem that they're doing as well. That's a big problem. So we got to give a little congratulations to Jessica McKay, who you knew as Billy Kay in the Iconics. She announced a couple of days ago that she is pregnant. I don't know, did her and Alexa Bliss go on like a double date back in March and they both scored? Because they're both expecting in December of this year. So Billy Kay is going to have a baby. So obviously her wrestling career is on hold for the foreseeable future. This weekend, she did a few conventions. Last week, she did a few conventions. And this is a current picture of her right now on the right. And as of right now, she's about 3 months pregnant. And to me, she's not showing. I don't have the picture of Alexa Bliss that's floating around, but Alexa Bliss is absolutely showing. Carmella is showing as well. I don't know if Carmella might be, her due date might be November. But hey, congratulations to her, man. Congratulations to her. So, very, very cool. Yes, we can share some good news once in a while. Dynamite this Wednesday doesn't look that bad. MJF versus Adam Cole in a championship eliminator match. We got the Mogul Assembly versus Darby Allin, Sting, Orange Cassidy, and Keith Lee. Like, if you took, like, you know what that looks like to me? Like, if you took a blender, and let's say you had hamburgers, french fry, a chocolate shake, and a salad, and you're like, oh, I don't have time to eat all this. Let me just throw it all in a blender and drink it at the same time. That's what this match feels like. Blackpool Combat Club versus Hangman Page and the Young Bucks. Honestly, we just had Anarchy in the Arena. Why the fuck are we still getting these guys? I know why they're getting it. So Takeshita could get involved, and then Kenny Omega will make his return, and he probably won't be alone, and that's going to lead into Forbidden Door. This match is happening because it's Forbidden Door. We have a storm in the skies, everyone. I just made that up now. Tony Storm is going to take on Sky Blue. What's that phrase? Rat's chance in hell. But hey, Sky Blue, you know, let's hope that she gets a commercial break. And I mean that. Because if she don't get a commercial break, that match is ending in 90 seconds, 2 minutes at the most. Wardlow will be taking on Jake Hager. And, yeah, no one is advertised to just talk. These billboards, these thumbnails, usually, oh, this person's going to talk and this person's going to talk. So that is Wednesday's Dynamite. Now, once again, as a reminder before I jet out of here, Tuesday, tomorrow, technically now because it is already Tuesday over here, Kev Castle and yours truly will be doing an episode of the Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show. We're going to be talking about, you know, current wrestling stuff. I'm sure we will comment about some of the topics that we talked about tonight. We're going to chat a little bit about AEW, and we'll see what else is going on. We'll take some questions from our VIP. Actually, I think it's we'll probably do a little off the cuff, so it'll be open to everybody. Just for those who are on Patreon that are hearing this, please be kind as far as the number of questions. Some people get to like 7, 8, 9 questions, and, you know, we got to kind of like condense it. Plus, you know, we're going to be talking about a lot of other topics as well. So, with that said, check this out. This is good. This is kind of like one of those weeks that you really should consider it. This week in wrestling history, we have Hulk Hogan making his WCW parade in Orlando when he signed. One of my favorite moments of all time, Terry Funk beating the shit out of Mel Phillips. That was Terry Funk's WWF debut as far as a contracted wrestler. Beat the balls off of him on TV. Macho Man, what's going on with him? You're going to have to tune in to go check that out. Two of the most politically incorrect wrestling segments you will ever watch. I promise you, if you have never seen these, you have to see them. I promise you, neither one of these would dare anywhere go near what they did. And that's Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff at the gym, making fat shaming people, skinny shaming people, calling this woman, you fat pig, you blimp. Dr. D, David Schultz at home. The WWF cameras go to Dr. D, David Schultz's house. He threatens to beat up his wife. He threatens to smack his kids. He throws dishes and food. He calls his wife woman. Woman, what's wrong with you? If you've never seen that segment, this is Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm not talking about abuse. If you listen to Dr. D, you just check out his attitude, his cadence, the way he talks, the way he acts, the way he comes across, redneck, Dr. D is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Or I should say the opposite. Stone Cold Steve Austin has a lot of Dr. D David Schultz in him. Those two segments are priceless. The first Razor Ramon vignettes started to air. Kevin Nash and Eric Bischoff and Scott Hall, this was the week where they had to admit that they were not part of the WWF anymore. ECW One Night Stand, 2005-2006. Vince McMahon gets blown up in the limousine. My good friend, who is no longer with us, my former hotline host, my former co-wrestler, traveling up and down the road, Timmy Austin, Timmy Calkins, who you knew was the ECW zombie. This Week in History was the first WWE episode of ECW on Sci-Fi. And look at the picture on the right. Does anybody remember that? Anybody remember that? Oh, wait, what did I just do here? This was the Week in History. I think it was the match was Rick Steiner versus Sting. And, you know, Rick Steiner, welcome to the dog pound. Remember that? They actually unleashed Rottweilers and Dobermans at Sting. And Sting had a towel wrapped around his wrist. And if you ever watched the video closely, they recorded part of the segment earlier, and the segment earlier, he had a lot more face paint on, and they were trying desperately to get the dogs to bite Sting in the arm. And he had the towel wrapped around his arm. They must have, like, rubbed it in Alpo or something. And they finally got the visual of one of the Dobermans biting Sting. That is the ultimate wrestle crap there. That is one of the... I can't believe all the Q&As and all the conventions Sting does that this is not brought up, but it's not. That is just ridiculous. And it continues, everyone. This week in history, Vince Russo and David Flair beat Ric Flair, retirement match, shaved his head bald. Do you remember that? I'm sure a lot of you don't. Hey, AJ Styles has got the NWA Championship. Donald Trump bought Monday Night Raw. And I also talk about the stock market. Interesting how the stock market reacted when Vince McMahon got blown up in a limo. And then how the stock market reacted when they thought Donald Trump bought Monday Night Raw legitimately. That all happened this week. And yes, this segment will be talked about. Why does it look the way it looks? Okay, this is a little bit better. Here we go. Would they dare do something like that in 2023? Booker T and Goldust doing their segments and Goldust acting like one of those Fu Manchus, complete with the buck teeth? Oh, my God. This week in history has boatloads of comedy. But out of all of that, the Dr. D and the Paul Orndorff stuff. Oh, my God. That is some of the most politically incorrect shit I have ever seen in pro wrestling. So this week is a good history week to go check out. So with that said, I'm out of time. I'm surprised I'm not out of breath. But I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. Much love as always. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. If you know anyone else out there that might like the channel, let them be aware of it. DonTony.com. Download the audio episodes. The audio episodes really are what keeps us in business. It really does. And that is the lifeline. You know, even though we do video on some of the shows, you know, about 85 to 90% of the whole audience access is just audio only. Who the fuck wants to see my face every week? So definitely go support DonTony.com. So I am out of here. Much love as always. And I hope to see you all either tomorrow for the Don Tony Kevin Castle show or Wednesday night Dynamite. And then we got the weekend. So be well, everybody. Much love. I'll talk to you all again soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster.
I know what people are going to say.
For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.